This morning, our message is a little different. We're going to be jumping around in some passages, and most of them will be on the screen. But there'll be a couple that I may have you turn to. But there are times I sit in my office or if I'm driving down the road, rarely do I listen to music, but I often listen to sermons. I listen to other pastors, and pastors need to be fed by other pastors too. But sometimes I really enjoy listening to some fellows of a bygone era. I love listening to John R. Rice and especially Oliver B. Green. I also enjoy men like Dr. E.V. Hill. One of my favorite messages, it may seem a little strange, but Dr. Hill died just a few years ago. He was a pastor out in Los Angeles, and he preached his wife's funeral. And if you can find it online, I would encourage you to listen to that message. Dr. E.V. Hill preaching his wife's funeral back in 1987. It is a tremendous message. But throughout that message, and many as these other men preach, oftentimes you'll hear them say, "Can I get an amen?" And that's our title today. Can I get an amen? I'm watching my wife. She's telling me if it's on the screen or not. Can I get an amen? Anyway. When you listen to these, you also have to be careful that when a pastor asks for an amen, you need to understand what it means. It means so be it. Can I get a so be it? Do you agree? And sometimes I hear amens at inappropriate places. But if you hear something good and praiseworthy, something about our Lord, then you can give an amen. Okay? You got it down. In the coming week, we're going to focus on prayer. We're entering a season of prayer. And as we pray, how do we normally close our prayer? Amen. So be it, right? And so as we enter this time of prayer, there are some things I want you to think about. As a church, we have a lot to praise the Lord for. I mentioned in our pastoral prayer just a moment ago that 10 women accepted Christ yesterday as their Savior. That's worth an amen, isn't it?
Amen. Amen.
Anytime someone comes to know Christ as Savior, where they surrender their life, where they repent of their sin, and they believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that's worth an amen. Baptisms. Seeing lives change, that's worth an amen.
Amen.
We're glad to know that Ricky has come to know Christ.
Amen.
That's all right. There are 7 Hebrew words that speak of praise, and that praise is in association with God's amen. The word praise is actually a Latin word, and it literally means value or price. And so when we talk about praising God, it means to proclaim His merit, to proclaim His great worth, if you will. Some of the other words that are closely associated in the Bible with this are glory, blessing, thanksgiving, and hallelujah. Hallelujah is the transliteration of a Hebrew word that means praise. The whole book of Psalms, the word Psalms, means praise. Again, there are many things that we see that are praiseworthy in the church. There are things that we see that are praiseworthy in the Word of God. There are different modes of praise. In Leviticus 7:13, talks about the offering of sacrifice. Our offerings, the offering that we took just a moment ago, is an outpouring of praise, that it is should be something that is a form of worship. And so in the coming weeks, one of the things that we may do, I've talked about it for some time now, is that we might move our offering each service to the end of the service, because it is an outpouring of what we have just heard, and it is something that we give praise to God for. That's why I do the Lord's Supper at the end of a service. Other things that are worthy of praise and the connection with them. Also, physical movement. In 2 Samuel, we read how David danced before the Lord in all his might. And so sometimes praise makes you want to move your feet a little bit. The scriptures speak of praising God in a variety of ways, not just in movement and word, but also in silence, meditation, in prayer, in the giving of thanksgiving. And so praise and the amen comes about in several ways. Praising God in the scriptures is almost always linked to music, not always, but almost always, and especially this vocal praise. Very first word that we find in the scriptures that deals with this is Tehillah. It comes from Psalms 51. Is that up there? It is. Psalm 51, 15 through 17. Let's look at what he says. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not be despised. And so this form of praise, the praise and the amen, actually begins within. How that the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with us as individuals, and that all the praise, the outward appearances of it, come from within. There's another one, Psalm 150. It's not on the screen, but you'll know it when I read it. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then the psalmist ends, praise the Lord. Everything that we do as followers of Jesus Christ is an act of praise. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, that's what Paul is writing about as he's getting ready to talk about the gifts of the church. And he says that all of these things are our reasonable service, our reasonable worship to God. Amen. Everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we hope to do and be should be an honor and glory to Jesus Christ, to His praise.
Amen.
As a church, again, we have so many things to praise God for. Things are happening so quickly in our midst with the preschool and the different ministries and the possibility of a new minister of worship. All of those things are worth praising God for.
Amen.
Number one, the word toda or toda is the type of praise where we can sing out in the midst of adversities. I would venture a guess and say that everyone here today has had some adversity in their life at some point or not. And you're probably facing some adversity today, many of you. My family and I certainly have experienced this, that in the midst of uncertain times, we could praise God. It was just 4 years ago, a couple of weeks ago, made 4 years, that Teresa was diagnosed with that brain tumor and that surgery that she had, and the doctor came in and said, basically, she's got about 18 months to live. And then they were confounded because of what God did. All the things that were pointing to this cancerous tumor, glioblastoma, and then all of a sudden, it's tested again, and they go, wait a second, maybe it's something else. Maybe it's lymphoma. I get a call 2 weeks later, we don't know what it is. Maybe it's an infection. Go to the infectious disease doctor. It's not an infection. She'd be deathly ill. not sick one day. And as we pray day after day after day, trusting that God would intervene, He did. And we give Him praise. We've seen it work, and I bet you've seen it at work too. Notice this, Psalm 100, verses 1 through 3, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Much to praise God for. God made us. Not only did He make us, but He knows us. He knows us intimately. He knows our every need. Nothing escapes His sight. And because of that, because He oversees us and He wraps His arms around us and He cares for us and He loves us, even in the midst of adversities, He knows all our needs and we can praise Him for that. There's another passage. It's not on the screen, but if you'll allow me to read it to you. Jeremiah 17, verse 26. It uses the term Todah also. And it's talking about these sacrifices of praise. Jeremiah writes in 17:26, "And they shall come from the cities of Judah, and from the places around Jerusalem, and the land of Benjamin, and from the lowland." I'm wondering if he was thinking about the lowlands here. "From the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offering and incense, bringing," notice, "sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord." Sometimes praise comes at a cost. Think about those times in your life where you struggled and you suffered. Think about times that were hard on you as a follower of Jesus Christ. And there were probably times where you wondered, is God listening? Is God there? But as He brings you through those valley periods, those dark periods in life, when you get to the other side, you know that you can praise God because He is the one that delivered you. What does the psalmist say? That He takes us through the valley of the shadow of death. In our church, when I think of those, think of praise in regards to those in our church in total, I think of how many of you as a church body and the remnant continued on to trust in the Lord. That when your numbers got so small and you wondered, is God going to close this place up? Are we done for? You stayed the course. And we're not overflowing in by any sense in numbers and those type of things, but we are overflowing in His goodness and His grace. We continue to abound because our Lord abounds. You never gave in, you never gave up. Facing difficult times, there was still this twinkle of hope in your eyes and a sense that God is not only real, but He's near and that He's comforting and that He's not finished with us yet. Here's the second one. Yada. Yada is to stretch out our hands as praise to the Lord for the entire world to see. This form of praise is an outward sign of what is taking place inwardly. What's taking place in our heart, and I would be the first to tell you that this is probably not one of those things I always feel most comfortable with. But if you do, then raise your hand. Lift up your voices in praise. Dance unto the Lord. This is what David did. Notice this. Psalm 9, 1 and 2. To the chief musician, to the tune of Death of the Son, a psalm of David. I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all of Your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. There is nothing to be ashamed of when worshiping God. Again, the word praise here in this passage means to extend the hand, embracing God in all His glory. There have been times in my life that I know I've been at this place, and it's almost like you're on the athletic field or your team is playing and you're raising your hand and you're shouting because they've scored some touchdown or something. But imagine when those 10 women accepted Christ yesterday. Imagine when Ricky accepted Christ and when you accepted Christ. Imagine the angels of heaven lifting their hands and praising God.
Amen.
It's okay to show a little emotion in the body of Christ. I hope that you have the freedom here to do such. Here's the third word. Barak. Barak is when we are so overwhelmed by the presence and power of the Lord in praise, we are driven to our knees. This form of praise literally means to bow. To bow before God. Again, I can think of times in my life. I remember reaching a point early in ministry. I had surrendered to the Lord. Teresa and I, we had two little boys and we were struggling some. And I remember on a Saturday morning thinking, you know what? I'm done with this. God doesn't hear me. He's not listening to me. There's no place for me to serve. And as soon as I said that and thought that, as I was sitting in my study, the phone rang and there was a preacher on the other end. And it was the very words that I needed to hear that morning. And I remember hanging up the phone and tears flowing from my eyes because of what they were wanting me to do. When I walked outside, we were living out in the country up in the hills of North Carolina, and I fell to my knees on the ground and I cried like a baby because God was so real. Nothing escapes Him. Notice this passage, Judges 5, 2 and 3. Go back. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Again, it's this type of praise that drives us to our knees. And again, thinking about the healing of my wife, the birth of my sons, and the time in ministry, early in ministry. One of the things I want to stress to you today is that during our pastoral prayer time, what I would like to see develop from that is this. That each week that we take just a few more minutes in prayer at the beginning of a service. And that this altar is open to you. See, I think as we begin a service, it just makes sense that we spend a little more time in prayer. That we pray for our pastor, be it me or David or someone else speaking that morning. That you pray for them, that you pray that God would lay their hands upon us, that we would speak with clarity, that we would speak truth, that we would speak in boldness. It's also a time to pray that for others that may be in our midst. For those who need salvation, for those who need to make a change in life. Maybe it's a time to pray for your family. What better time to pray than to start the whole service in prayer? And that we take a little more time at the altar. I want you to be free to do that. Matter of fact, I want you to know that the altar is always open. That if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, that even if it's in the midst of a message and the Holy Spirit is dealing with you and you need to move, then you come to an altar of prayer. And you just come. We'll let you be. There are others, though, I want to deal with. I want to talk to about being these prayer partners, that when someone comes to the altar, that might be your ministry, that you come and join them and that you lay your hands on them, that you pray with them and pray for them during that time. Again, when the Holy Spirit moves, let us not corral Him somehow and limit Him. Number four is the word Shabbat. Shabbat is a joyful shout of praise. Actually, more than that, more than a shout of praise, it is the combination of praises. It means I will shout. I will shout upon my knees. I will shout with my hands extended. It's a variety of things. In Psalm 63, verses 3 and 4. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Notice, verbally, my lips will praise you, which is an expression that comes from the heart. And then in verse 4, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. And so the picture is the psalmist is being driven to his knees, and because of what's heavy upon his heart, and he cries out to God and he lifts his hand before Him in glory and in victory. I wonder, what makes you shout? What makes you shout, Christian? I know for me, it's not just when my team scores a touchdown or hits a basket. And I do shout when that happens sometimes. But I also shout within myself when I say, yes, Lord, when I see someone come to know Christ as Savior. When someone close to us overcomes their addiction to drugs or alcohol and they're living a clean life, they're clean and sober today, that's worth praising God for. When marriages are being healed and husbands and wives are getting their differences worked out, that's worth praising God for. When newborn babes come into this world and they're entrusted to our care, we should praise God. I want to ask you to do this, church. I want you to pray not just for Shambra and Kelly and what will take place next week, but I want you to pray that God will send us children. I want you to pray that God will not just send us children of 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. I pray that God will send us newborns, that the nursery will start to fill up. I'm asking you to join me in prayer for that. And some of you are looking at me, am I going to have to work the nursery? Maybe. But it's worth working in the nursery every now and then. It's worth praising God when people and families join our church. It's worth praising God when we see Christians learning the Word. There's nothing that excites me more than when I see Christians and that little light bulb go off over their head and it begins to click and things are coming. That's some of those things that excite me. It's also praiseworthy when one of our beloved leaves us, those who know Christ, and they leave this world, and we know that they are stepping into glory. They're stepping before the throne of God as Jesus welcomes them home. Those things might be worth praising God for and even shouting a little bit. That's what I was going to say. Can I get an amen? Here's number five. Zamar. Zamar is to play the strings, blow the horn, and beat the drum because the Lord is victorious. All forms of musical instruments are spoken of here. And the type of music that is to be played is this music that praises God. It can be hymns, it can be gospel, it can be contemporary. There are different forms of music today. Some I don't actually get. But if it praises the Lord, then that's a good thing. Psalm 21, verses 11 through 13. Though they intended evil against you and devised a plot, they will not succeed. For you will make them turn their back. You will aim with your bowstrings at their faces. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength we will sing and praise your power. Our God has made us victorious through his Son, Jesus the Christ. Remember these passages from 1 John? Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. John 5, 4 and 5 says, for whoever has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
Amen.
Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
You are overcomers because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that is worthy of praise. We've truly been blessed. For the last year and a half, Teresa has led worship for us, and I appreciate her willingness to take on the extra work and help us without asking anything in return. And I appreciate the job that she's done. I appreciate Dale, who helped us before she got before her back and other illnesses kind of took her out of it. I appreciate Stacy and his work with the Men of S.H.I.E.L.D. and their willingness to lead us in worship on the fifth Sundays. But now we have an opportunity for a new staff person who's been trained, and his wife too has been trained in Christian education. We have an opportunity to bring in a man who has been ordained by God and ordained by the church, who is truly gifted. A man who has the abilities to pull everything together in music and worship and to help us with our children. But in music and worship, he has the abilities to hopefully help us go to the next level too. To be the people that God wants us to be the church that blends our voices and our talents together to sing with passion to Christ. Next week, again, you'll be asked to vote on Shambra, and I pray that you'll pray that God's will be done. I truly believe that we are in this process and we're seeing things happen, and God wants us to do things with excellence. And I think you believe that too. I hope you do. And so where we're at today is not where we were at 2 years ago. And where we'll be at next year at this time, hopefully we'll not be at the same place, but we will see God working, and as we continue to build a church and a ministry of excellence that will win people to Christ, that will make a difference in our community. We need people like this to help us. And we see people like this in the Scriptures. One place I want you to turn in your Bible. I want you to turn to the book of Nehemiah chapter 12 for just a moment. Nehemiah chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 45 through 47. Nehemiah 12, 45. Hear what the Word of God says. Nehemiah 12, 45. And they performed the service of their God and the service of purification, as did the singers and the gatekeepers, according to the command of David and his son Solomon. For long ago, get this, for long ago in the days of David and Asaph, there were directors of the singers, and there were songs of praise and thanksgiving to God, and all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel, and in the days of Nehemiah, gave their daily portions for the singers and the gatekeepers. There were music directors then. They were a part of the worship of the people of Israel. And these were people that were taken care of by the offerings that were brought before the Lord. We have that opportunity to continue this. Here's our last point this morning. Number 6, Hallel. Hallel is the type of praise that makes you want to move and even charge the gates of hell. It's the type of praise that not only makes you want to tap your feet, but it's the type of praise that moves you inwardly. It's the type of praise that charges up the soul of a person. That's the type of praise that David had. 2 Chronicles 2, 20, 21 through 22. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. As they went before the army and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were all routed. The story here is this, that in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, the king, prays. And as he prays, it moves the people, and it moves one of the singers, if you will, Jehazael. And it empowered them. He makes this speech. And notice what he says, if you'll permit me to read to you. In verses 13 and 9 through 19 that come before this, he says, "As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehazael. He said, 'Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by the mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's.'" And then in verse 17, "But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions," which I think is an interesting statement. "Take your positions, church. Then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged." He says that for the second time. "Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Verse 18, "Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord and the God of Israel with a very loud shout." I want you to get the picture as we close today. Here's what's happening. King Jehoshaphat, being a believer and a leader, bows and he prays. And through that prayer, it charges up one of the singers, one of the leaders. And this leader stands up and he speaks. He proclaims the word of God and he says, "Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. Do not be afraid. For the Lord is going to lead you. And as he leads you, you go out and you take your position." And so as the story goes, they would go out and take their position as they're getting ready to go into this valley. And God causes this great confusion to come upon the army that is meaning harm to Judah. And they basically wipe each other out. They don't lift a hand, they just shout to the Lord. I was thinking about this, actually. Teresa mentioned this to me the other day in her morning devotion. To take our position is what I'm asking you to do. As Jehoshaphat then, notice that if you read the end of the chapter, he bows and he goes to the ground and all the people bow with him. And they give praise, honor, and glory to God. I'm asking you to do that beginning now, this season of prayer.